The College Board announced this week that they are releasing an all-new version of the SAT that caters specifically to students who have anxiety and are very anxious about test taking. And it also helps students with dyslexia and students who speak English as a second language. Thank you for joining us on the Spectator PM podcast. I'm Ellie Gardy, and I'm joined by my co-host, Aubrey Gulick. So what do you think about this new sensitive standardized testing, Aubrey?
Well, it's definitely a coddling of our young people. It's funny because I took the SAT not too many years ago, before COVID for sure. But and I remember you had the number two pencils, everything was very secure. You had to put your phone in a Ziploc bag and it couldn't buzz ever or else the world would end. The new SAT is like fully digital. So it's online to begin with. And it's like 2 hours and 14 minutes. So I sat down for 3 hours and took a test. These students don't have to take a test for 3 hours. Does 45 minutes make a difference? I would argue it does. They have more time per question, so there are fewer questions in general. And this gets me, they can use an online graphing calculator for the math section. I had to use the like stupid ones that like do multiplication, maybe if you're lucky. Like, this is, it's so funny to me. It's like, so we're just gonna, you know, these kids are anxious about test taking, weren't we all? They don't test well. Nobody does. So we're going to coddle them and hope that things go better. Meanwhile, our reading and math scores are falling. So that's fun.
Here's my thought. There's no way to make the SAT less stressful. It necessarily, I mean, if you're going to a college that cares about it, it matters a ton for those colleges and you're competing against others. You can't make it less stressful, really. And if you make the questions, you know, if you give more time, I suppose you might feel less rushed and that could contribute to feeling less stressed, but there's not really a way to get around the fact that this is going to be an anxiety-inducing experience. Basically, this is going to be a stressful time for college student or high school students who are looking to go into college. And so it's just kind of hilarious that they think that they can make it look, you know, oh, we're, you know, gonna calm students, but they're just trying to improve their PR at a time when so many colleges are going test optional and so many less students are taking the SAT. So they're under financial threat. So they're trying to change their public image, but you know, it's still going to be a stressful SAT.
Right. And the interesting thing is like, this is test taking for students who have, I mean, like these kids have lived in a world where there's an internet, where they're learning, they're doing a ton of online learning and they're doing very little like paper learning. And that means that, I mean, attention spans have plummeted, anxiety has gone up, all of these different things. And so now we're just creating a test to test these kids like within that context. So I don't know, it feels like at this point we're testing them for different things. It's like, can you jump between different things? Can you read really short little passages? The reading passages are shorter. I remember them being interminably long and they were very boring.
Yeah, but so previously you would have this, you know, a few paragraphs long reading assignment and you'd read it and it would be often some woke thing or it would be some multicultural thing, you know, it was always something like that, but it would be, you know, a few paragraphs and then you would answer a series of questions that tested your comprehension on the passage. Well, that's too stressful now. We can't have students read a page. So now you just get a sentence or two and then you're supposed to answer questions about how you comprehended those two sentences. And it's like, what? Students don't have an attention span to read a page? Now that they can only read, like they're going through Instagram and trying to comprehend a caption is basically what it's come down to now.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. No, it's funny because like, I remember growing up and we read like 19th century novels, right? And so you're reading about the tests that these kids are taking and they're like, they have to speak Latin. Hillsdale College, where I went to school, the entrance exam for like, you know, 100 years ago included Greek and Latin. You had to be fluent. And I think the same was probably true in Notre Dame. Like it was a very common thing. Today we're like, well, our math scores are slipping. Our reading comprehension is down the tube with these students. So let's give them the easiest possible test and hope they can pass it because like the Ivy Leagues are still requiring the test, even though nobody else is.
Well, only a few of them.
That's true.
Brown just announced this week that they're going to require it after they previously made a test optional, and Yale has it as well. And, you know, so that's a whole other thing. But yeah, this, you know, I really can't honestly laugh too much about these students who are very anxious about their exams, because when I took the PSAT, which does not matter at all because it's only used to determine whether or not someone's a National Merit Scholar, and very few people are National Merit Scholars, so it's essentially a waste of students' time. They have two math sections on it, and for some reason, I filled out the bubbles for the wrong math section on my test. It was, you know, section 3 and 4 of both math, and I did the wrong section and put it in the section 3 bubbles or something totally ridiculous and dumb. So maybe this will be idiot proof and will help people like me, because that did not go well. But, you know, that did not matter. Was not a National Merit Scholar after that one. So
I always filling in the bubbles was like the best part of taking those tests. Like, it's so satisfying to fill in the bubbles, and an entire generation of students is going to miss out on filling in the bubbles, and I'm so sad for them. Like,
filling in bubbles. It's like, you know, you have to use those wooden number 2 pencils that, you know, people don't really typically write with those in high school. I probably used mechanical pencils in high school, and yep. You know, now I, you know, use pens, but yeah, that just, it was weird. You had to buy them, and then it was, you know, I'd always get a blister on my thumb because I kind of hold my pens weird, and so it is a whole experience. And
get to avoid that.
So did you have a stressful experience when you took the SAT or ACT, or did you need the College Board's coddling?
I was definitely stressed. I was homeschooled, so I had never actually been into a public high school in my entire life. And the SAT was the first time I like sat down to take a standardized test in any way, shape, or form. And so it was a totally new thing for me. I did survive though. I didn't perform incredibly well, but I also didn't do badly.
Oh, you did excellently if you got into Hillsdale. They're very high standards.
I think I got into Hillsdale because I did music and the music department went to that, but that's another story entirely. Yeah, no, it's interesting. I think the biggest problem to me with the coddling thing is that coddling an entire generation of students creates weak adults. Like, this generation is the most anxious. It's the most depressed. I think the numbers for anxiety are like 1 in 3 kids between the ages of 13 and 18 have like a diagnosable anxiety disorder, which is incredibly high. And our response has been, oh, let's keep coddling them. And then the numbers keep going up. And you're like, wait, why are the numbers going up if we're like reducing the anxiety, the things causing anxiety, right? And I think the answer might just be because like life is actually just too easy. And so taking a test is anxiety inducing, and to the point where like, or just living is anxiety inducing. It's like, well, there's anxiety in the world. You're gonna have to deal with it. We can only coddle you so much before the real world kicks in. So.
Yeah, this entire attitude is why we have this problem of all these people breaking down and not being able to handle life. And like you're saying, life is necessarily going to be difficult and you're going to have challenges. So if the people who are supposed to be teaching you as you're growing up are just trying at every single step as you're developing to say, oh, no, don't worry, it's fine. You don't have to stress about it. I'll make it easier on you. Oh, it's okay that you're late on your paper. I won't give you, you know, a lower letter grade because you're late. I'll, you know, it's fine. You can make it up. And it's just like, then you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to be able to be challenged. You're not going to improve. And, you know, if your SAT is specifically designed so that, oh, it's okay, we're going to give you full amount of time for each question, so you don't even have to rush. It's like, it's window dressings because it's necessarily competitive. You can't get around that and everyone's still just going to be competing just as hard to, you know, get the best score. So.
Right. Only now they're actually on a computer and they're like, it's hack proof because every question, you know, every test is different for every student. It's like, is it though? Because last time I checked, this generation's really good with tech. Yeah, it's just the whole thing is really, I mean, it's kind of sad because the tests reflect how we're doing on education. And the fact that we've had to make tests progressively easier for our students to both take, and I mean, like the questions are easier than they were, you know, like these, it says something about our failure to educate kids. And unfortunately, the ones who rise above are going to be, I mean, you're set apart if you can sit down and you can read 20 pages of a novel. And that's insanely sad.
That's a little concerning. And also another feature of the test that's designed for coddling is so you get a question that pops up on the computer. And if you answer the easy, and it's first easy questions, if you answer the easy questions right, you'll get more difficult questions. But if you don't, they're not even going to show you the hard questions. They're just going to give you the lower score. So you'll have taken the test and, you know, that was easy. The questions weren't that hard. And, you know, I think I did okay. Some of them are hard. You know, they're not even going to bother challenging you to the same standard as everyone. If you, you know, are judged by the computer within a few questions to be not as high of, you know, academic achievement as another student, they're not even going to bother seeing if you can reach that level.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Or, you know, if you answered a question, it was just a fluke that you got it wrong or whatever. Like the computer will be like, oh, well, you can't handle those difficult questions. Ergo, you get a lower score. Like it's so much less objective than when we took our little number two pencils into public school classrooms, sat down at a bunch of desks and were handed plastic calculators that felt like they were going to snap. Like so much less objective than that. Like, yeah. And it's, I mean, it's not the same test anymore. So I was like, yeah.
Not that it was ever a very good test.
That's true. It wasn't. It's never been a good test. Well, thank you all for joining us on the Spectator PM podcast. We will be back next week with more. In the meantime, head to spectator.org, check out all the great commentary and the news that we've got up there. Check out our newest writer, Nate Hockman. He's going to be putting up pieces next week or this coming week as well. And yeah, there's a lot of exciting new projects at the American Spectator. So make sure to stay tuned. Have a great day.